I'm Jared Waitley. Here's a snapshot of Monday, August 15. Your white-hot snap judgments after Essendon's Sunday debacle as a chain reaction began at the hangar.
30-year Essendon member. My three children have been Essendon members since birth. But I tell you, last night was a real tipping point for me. That was almost like an amateur football club playing a professional football club. Some of the efforts were just completely unacceptable, and heads must roll for that performance last night. I mean, you know, I cannot front up week after week trying to explain these garbage performances to my children. It's just completely unacceptable, and I am just, you know, the emotional connection with that football club is just on the decline by the week. It almost becomes a bit of a, you know, we're a laughing stock. We have been for a number of years. And, you know, I just don't see a way forward. And I probably see maybe three or four players that are off the table from a trade perspective. I reckon the rest are fair game. It's just a really bleak time to be an Essendon supporter.
Look, my heart was broken yesterday. You know, I fell in love with the club in 1964, you know, when I was 7 years old. We've had ups and downs, and basically, you know, we've had some fantastic periods and we've had some really poor periods. But the effort yesterday by those so-called Essendon players, the coach's response, the silence from the board, it's just not on. I want to know why. Why have we not been able to assemble a team to be competitive? This is not just yesterday's game. This is not last week. This is the whole year. This is the last 20 years.
Sam Edmund on the boardroom civil war.
So Paul Brasher, the now we can call the outgoing president of the Essendon Football Club, decided that he would walk away from the club yesterday before this embarrassing loss to Port Adelaide. Now, the reason Brasher decided to do that was because there's still sections of the board still now that want an external review conducted on the football operations at the Essendon Football Club. The internal review, led by Sean Welborn and helped by Simon Madden and Kevin Sheedy, had come back. There were sections of the board that were unhappy with those results. It was put to a vote to then do an external review. Now, Paul Brasher felt, regardless of how that vote was going to play out, that his leadership had been undermined. So he took the decision that he was going to step aside from the Essendon Football Club before the annihilation at the hands of Port Adelaide. Now, David Barham has been on that board since 2015. Peter Allen is the vice president. My understanding is that David Barham put his hand up to take over as president, but that will go to a vote today. That is why the board is meeting to decide who the next president of the Essendon Football Club will be. Will it be David Barham or will it be Peter Allen? And all of this angst stems, as we said earlier, from the announcement a month after saying there was no review to be conducted of an internal football department review that had angst at the time, and that angst has festered over the course of the season, a 7-win season in their 150th year that's been so disappointing. And now it's cost, ultimately, Paul Brasher his position as chairman of the football club.
And David King with the urgent need for change at the Bombers.
So everything we talk about with Essendon rears its head every 4 weeks. They don't buy into the defensive side of the game. So I think they've got enormous system problems. Enormous. And everyone keeps telling me, yeah, but, you know, that it'll correct. And another year and they're a young side. They're a young side learning bad habits. That's where they are. There's no advantage being young learning these habits. So something's got to give. And I said it last night, they've had the opportunity to have this discussion with Alistair Clarkson. What could you do with this group? You don't necessarily have to give him the job. Hey, what do you think this list's at? Where do you think we should be in 12 months' time? Are we taking the right steps towards our next premiership? Because they've been nowhere for a long time. And they've fumbled around. For a ruthless club of 20 years ago, they're a shadow of that right now. So that's why we're at this point. And I'm not just talking the coach. I'm talking up the chain a bit.
On the Monday means test, we marvelled at what the Swans have got right.
They've got a batch of kids that are just next level. Like Sweetfeet Gordon, our man, he's a ripper. Heaney did some things yesterday. I showed a bit of vision last night. He kicked the ball from the wing forward and then charged. Finished in the goal square, tapping the ball back to Franklin. Franklin finishes with a goal. And I might have a chat with Kane about where he sits in the competition right now because he's in serious form too,
yep.
Lance. So, Rowbottom's becoming a serious player. We talk about Warner a lot, but I think Rowbottom's the one. He's their Ben Cunnington. He's a bit of a tractor. Like, he's just one speed all day, and he just keeps turning up and winning clearance and winning contest, and it's his form is so important. The clearance and contest game was the one thing we were waiting for, you know, from round, say, 12 onwards, and it's arrived in a hurry. I had a look at the ladder through the year, Jared. So at round 8, they're sitting 6th. At round 12, they're sitting 6th. At round 16, they're sitting 8th. At round 19, they're sitting 6th. At round 22, they've found their way to 2nd.
Yep.
This is what you talk about. Timing your run is everything.
And Robert Craddock considered attitudes towards Cam Smith's reported move to LIV Golf.
Well, let's put it this way, Jared. There was a Golf Digest writer sent out into the crowd at a recent LIV Golf tournament, and he actually tweeted, he said, "My assignment for the day was to interview people over their concern about human rights issues in Saudi Arabia." And he said, "Guess what? The first 30 people I've interviewed said, basically, I don't give a stuff. They just want to watch the golf." So they accept that Saudi Arabia is sponsoring sports events all around the world. I conducted my own pub test, basically, just over the last week, just mixing with people. And that's the vibe, you know, that people are saying, "Well, you know what? What about the Saudi Grand Prix? What about the owners of Newcastle United? You know, and what about the fact that the Gulf used to visit Saudi Arabia, and there was no complaints then." So, but it is a massive fee he's got. Jared, by amazing contrast, we're doing a rich list of NRL and AFL players. And do you know the NRL salary cap is about $9 million or so? So if you put every dollar earned by an NRL player next season in a pot, it's exactly the same as what Cameron Smith gets for signing his name for LIV. It's yes. $140 million. So that's every player in the whole competition, what they're earning next year. He sits down, and if he signs Cameron Smith on a LIV contract, he gets that in 10 seconds. Like, yeah. It's just like and that puts it into perspective. Like, people are saying, how do you say no to it?
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.